And gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY24 conference call of Nirlon Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Purvangi Jain from Valorem Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Good afternoon, everyone, and a warm welcome to you all. My name is Purvangi Jain from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Nirlon Limited. On behalf of the company, I would like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings conference call for the first quarter of the financial year 2024. Before we begin, I would like to mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's con call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risk and uncertainties, which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's beliefs as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to the management. Audiences are cautioned not to place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings conference call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Now I would like to introduce you to the management participating in today's earnings conference call and give it over to them for their opening remarks. We have with us Mr. Rahul V. Sagar, Chief Executive Officer and Executive Director, Mr. Kunal V. Sagar, Promoter and Non-Executive Director, Mr. Manish Parikh, Chief Financial Officer, VP Finance, Mr. Ashish Bharadia, VP Business Development and Investor Relations. Without any further delay, I request Mr. Kunal Sagar to give his opening remarks.
Thank you, Purvangi, and good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to our earnings conference call for the first quarter of the financial year 2024. Let us take you through the financial performance of the company. For the first quarter of the financial year 24, the company reported a total income of 149 crores, an increase of approximately 7% on a year-on-year basis. EBITDA stood at 117 crores, which grew by approximately 9% on a year-on-year basis, representing an EBITDA margin of 78.4%. Profit after tax was 50 crores, which was a growth of more than 250% on a year-on-year basis, while PAT margin stood at 33.4%. This growth of 250% over quarter one of the previous year is largely due to the effect of the change in the depreciation methods that was effective from quarter 3, financial year 23, and one-time expenses for debt refinancing, which were incurred in quarter 1 of the last financial year. On the operational front, for the current quarter, the average occupancy rate of NKP increased to 99.4%, and as on 30th June 23, approximately 14,000 square feet of area was vacant. ICICI Prudential has expanded its space at NKP by approximately 9,600 square feet. Deutsch has concluded terms to renew approximately 320,000 square feet of space in NKP, which is due for renewal in financial year 2024. And IPSAA, our crash amenity, has reduced, has rather renewed, it's approximately 3,000 square feet of space at NKP in quarter 2, financial year 2024. With this, we conclude our short presentation and open the floor for your questions.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Shirish Vyas Vaze from Moneylife Advisory Services. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. I just have one question. We have been talking about restructuring for a while. So the most tax-efficient kind of way to restructure would be to merge with any of the three listed office REITs. So I just wanted to understand, are you in conversation with any of the three listed REITs for a possible restructuring? Thank you.
We continue to engage with our majority shareholders, our advisors and stakeholders on the subject of restructuring. All concerned are working within our regulatory framework to arrive at a reasoned and a thoughtful, thought-out path forward in this matter. We won't specifically comment on whether we are looking at A, B, or C option because it's a work in process. I hope that's something that answers your question to some extent.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. I'll just get back. Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Satinder Singh from Aeon Infotech Investments. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on the successful conclusion of the Deutsche renewal. So what is the mark to, what's the rental reversion that we would have received on this renewal?
Sorry, I would request you to repeat your question. What, we didn't understand.
What's the license fees we received for this for the renewal?
Yeah, reversion in terms of the new lease rent, license rent versus the previous license on renewal.
In general, as we said, the license fees are in the range of approximately with 3 to 4 months of license fee period in the range of approximately 150 rupees a square foot. That is what NL has been achieving in NKP for the past few quarters, for the past few renewals. And with Deutsche Bank as well, the terms are very similar to what we mentioned, to what I just mentioned, approximately 150 rupees a square foot. At 80% efficiency with 3 to 4 months of license fee period.
Yeah, my question was in terms of understanding, is there a kicker? So what was the exit rental like? So the rent they were previously paying in the last license compared to the rent now. So with a view to understand as to whether there's an uptick expected in the next results.
But the rent they were previously paying is across three or four particular locations within NKP, and those leases have been signed not at the same time, and the leases are not really running concurrently, so to speak. So in general, it would be hard to quantify that because there are leases for different volumes which have been signed at different times in over the past few years. So we can generally say, being as specific as possible, that when you look at a price of approximately 150 rupees a square foot with 3 to 4 months of rent free, generally there is a gradual increase of to some extent over the past. Over the previous license agreement, there is a gradual increase. But since it's coming from different time frames, etc., etc., it's not so easy to specifically quantify.
Okay, and any risks to the balance 130K? So we talked about 450,000 of renewals to come up in FY24. So that means about we have about 130,000 remaining left. Any risks that we see to renewal of the same based on the visibility that you have as of today?
No, we don't see specifically any risks at this point. Of course, we are watching and we are monitoring very carefully, but there's nothing significant in terms of risk that we want to say. We feel in general that the majority of the renewals have been going on fairly systematic and steady way with a marginal or gradual increase towards the 150 rupee mark with 3 to 4 months of rent free. So we don't really see, there's nothing significant to say in terms of any risk at this point in time. There's nothing that we really know of, so to speak.
Right, sir. One final question, which I can squeeze in before I come back again in the queue. So any risks that you see from upcoming supply in the micro market? So are we to understand that we do not foresee as of today much of a risk on occupancy or on rental increase from the upcoming supply in the market, micro market?
But I mean, there is always going to be upcoming supply in the micro market as well as in the macro market. That's very normal, actually. We find that if the licensees are happy here, of course, with the commercials as well as with the other conditions in NKP as well as with the day-to-day conditions and the day-to-day service in NKP, then we're not so worried as to what upcoming supply is coming, because that's not really something is within our ability to control. So, I mean, frankly, we have no issue if there's upcoming supply that comes in the micro region as well as of NKP as well as in the micro area, whether it's in Mumbai and Maharashtra or marginally outside as well. We're just focused on giving the licensee a good experience, and if he's satisfied commercially to some extent, he thinks he's good value here, then we're not so worried about what's happening outside.
Right. Thank you very much. I'll come back again with you. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one now. We'll take the next question from the line of Dilip Jain from an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Okay. Thank you. Since we have been continuing in the old tax regime to stay flexible for future restructuring opportunities, our tax outgo has been about 18 crores higher in fiscal year 22-23 than if we had paid tax at 25% had we moved to the new tax regime. Similarly, in fiscal year 21-22 also, we had paid around 32 crores extra tax. Post-delisting, the intended delisting of Nirlon, only the promoters will get the benefit of sticking to the old tax regime, which is kind of unfair to the existing non-promoter shareholders, given that GIC is one of the most ethical promoters globally. It is my humble request to you, sir, and to the promoters to announce a special dividend in the amount of the extra tax outgo, that's about 50 crores, only to the minority shareholders, only to the non-promoter shareholders, so that our group of minority shareholders are adequately and fairly compensated. Is my request fair, sir, and will you consider it?
Mr. Jain, we have heard your request. We will take it on board.
Okay.
We won't say anything more about it at this point, but we hear your request and we've taken it on board.
just to mention that when we had explained the reasons for staying with the old tax regime, we had mentioned in earlier calls, and we'll just refresh our explanation there, is that we feel that the potential value of doing that is significant enough for any the flexibility that we would get from staying in the old tax regime is significant enough to stay with the old tax regime. We understand, as you said, that there is a finite time frame for which it will be continue to be beneficial. We are very conscious of that, and your point is well taken.
Okay, thanks a lot, sir. One last question for you. So yesterday, as per media reports in business line, GIC is in talks with Blackstone to buy around $2 billion US dollars of their stake in commercial realty in Pune. If this were to fructify, if these talks were to fructify, since Nirlon is also into, you know, similar portfolio of assets, that is commercial realty, can these assets be combined into a possible REIT listing? I understand it's all, out in the future, but I just wanted your opinion on it. I'd be really thankful if you could just mention a line or two.
Mr. Jain, that's as you correctly said, that's a press report on which neither Blackstone nor GIC have said anything. So,
yeah,
I basically would like to mention anything on that at the moment.
Okay, but on such lines, if such deals were to fructify, are we open to combining assets, because the promoter is the same as GIC? Are we open to combining assets into a possible REIT?
I think that could be beyond the scope of our call here.
Okay, sir. No problem at all. Thanks a lot, sir. Thank you very much. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Satinder Singh from Aeon Infotech Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks again. What is the physical occupancy that is currently now achieved in the any move up from the previous 65-70 that was indicated, or it continues to be stable, or it's any update on that, sir?
Yes, it's fortunately that the footfalls in the campus, if that's what you're asking, are increasing, and they are if one excludes for just a moment the new Phase 5 and JP Morgan, the footfalls are increasing to about 80-85% of what they were at pre-COVID levels, and the trend continues to be upward. Also, JP Morgan, who have started recently, their occupancy are already very quickly up to 65%, and they're hoping to go to 100% in the next few weeks as well. So those trends are, of course, very encouraging, both those trends. So,
yeah, that's the most important thing, or that's one of the most important things. And if that is, if the physical occupancy is going in the right direction, which thankfully it is at this point in time, it's something that we monitor very carefully, and we do consider it to be a very important factor. And at this point in time, it is going in the right direction.
You know, that's very hard thing to know. Okay, I think 80-85% and 60% for JPM, I think, is great. So, this 14,000, while it is effectively net picking, but this 14,000 vacant, how much of it this is in Nirlon House out of this 14,000?
So, approximately half of this is in NKP, and I think approximately 6,000, which is approximately half, a little less than half, is in NKP, and the balance is in NH. And what is in NH, also a large part of that is in the basement, which is basically storage space. So it's not very significant by any stretch.
One other point, Mr. Singh, is that even the NKP space, none of it is office space.
Yeah, it's gymnasium.
It's amenity, yeah.
Basically amenity space, yeah.
No, that's great. So, on NH, we know that there are multiple stakeholders in the building, and to that extent,
the value unlocking is kind of constrained, okay? So today, if one were to consider the market value of Nedlon Limited stake in MH versus the rental income of about 3 crores that we get every year, the yield will be very low. So what are the various possible value unlocking options that the management sees at this point in time, given the constraints?
Yeah, we are evaluating the options with regards to Nizan House. As you may probably know, Nizan House is a multi owner building, so it's always it takes a little bit longer to come to any decision or to come to any restructuring or what future plans are when it's a multi owner building. But it is something which we are spending some time on, and we are spending, and we are very keen that the potentials or whatever it is that we decide in NH is to the benefit of the shareholders of NL. However, as I said, with multiple owners who have a completely different profile because of the profile of the space and the volume of the space and the location, then NL, it's not so easy to conclude this issue so easily. And once we have anything significant to say, we can tell you.
Just to add to that, just to be very clear, it's a significant priority for us, and we do believe that there are good solutions to it, and as soon as we have anything concrete, we'll make sure we let you know about it.
Yeah.
Thank you for this encouraging input, okay, sir. And while the management has mentioned that we've kind of built out NKP fully, okay, even though the FSI is underutilized, okay, and since the assets are not very old, okay, probably there isn't much development potential in the immediate. But is it a fair assumption to make that in the after 5 years or so, maybe there could be a future development opportunity by redeveloping something, or you feel it's even farther out than that?
Well, nothing has been specifically discussed at this point in time. At this point in time, phase 5, as you know, we got the OC in June 2021, and phase 5 is fully licensed as well. And since these buildings are not significantly old in terms of their life, if we look at phase 1, was ready in approximately 2008. So far, there's nothing significant for us to say with regard to future land within NKP which concerns utilization of FSI which is readily available.
Yes, I would agree with Rahul. I think it would be a little premature to try and guess what we might do in 5 years. I think there are so many different factors. Obviously, we understand that that is something that is one of several options, but whether in fact it's realistic or whether in fact it's something that we would be even thinking of going down that road,
it's,
I think, way too early to say just now.
Right. Okay. One final observation on the HSBC loan. The feeling is that probably the rate of interest being paid is quite high for the kind of asset that NKP is and the kind of corporate governance that NL delivers, okay. So I wonder if, okay, there's some action on this, okay, because we could knock off a meaningful interest cost, okay, possibly.
So we have a contracted rate with HSBC, which is linked to 3-month T-bills. That's our contract with them now. At some point it has been to our advantage, at some point it is not necessarily entirely to our advantage. That's the current contract we have with them. Of course, on a common sense basis, we hear what you have to say, and whenever there is any opportunity to address that, we certainly would try and do so.
Right, right. One final suggestion, but it's been mentioned. I know it's something that, okay, I don't want to push it beyond a point, and you are already seized of this. Just a small request again, kindly do try and expedite this restructuring stroke unlocking. The company pays 31% plus, and then as dividend recipients, we end up paying another 35%. The promoter, GIC affiliate in this case, might not be paying that 35% tax, okay, being a foreign company. Probably they might have advantage of a lower tax on the dividend. So to that extent, there is not full alignment of interest between the minority shareholders like us and even the Sagar family, okay, and the foreign affiliates. So the sooner it can be sorted out, and since it's been something that has been on for a few years now, it will be great if this could be resolved. Okay, thank you. Thank you and all the best, and thank you for the frank answers. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jain. Thank you.
Thank you.
Participants who wishes to ask questions, may press star and one now. We'll take the next question from the line of Jill Gada, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes,
ma'am. Yeah. Okay, so actually my first question was like, now that the majority of our area has already been rent out, right? So how do we see our top line grow other than the escalation over the due course of the business?
How do we see the top line grow apart from the...
Apart from escalation and?
Escalation, basically, over the due course of the business.
But I mean, you know, so as you said, predominantly since the capacity is now full, the escalation will come with the contracted escalation clauses in the agreement. Apart from this, we also have few opportunities with regards to renewals or with regards to if somebody exits the campus to get in the same existing person with the renewal or a new licensee at a higher license fee. So these would predominantly be the two other ways to do it. With regards to your question, it would be renewals and of course upcoming potential vacancies where, of course, the management will try and maximize the license fees of the incoming occupant.
Okay. And how much would be the contribution of the Nerlon House to the total revenue then?
I think the contribution of Nerlon House is approximately a little bit less than 1% of the license fees of NL.
Oh, okay. And my last question would be like, you know, we have been paying like hefty dividends in financial year 22 and financial year 23. So like, can we expect this trajectory to continue this year as well? And like, you know, potentially can this payout increase as we reduce our debt over the next few years, since we have no other usage of our cash currently?
Yes, we believe that this, with the current levels of occupancy, we believe that this is a sustainable dividend. That's our intention, is to try and keep it in this range, plus minus a little bit, but we try and keep it as steady as possible.
Okay, that answers my question. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Laksh Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please.
Yes.
Yeah. Good afternoon, sir. Congratulations on great set of occupancy rates. So we are paying 35% tax for quite a long time now, sir. And the dividends which we distribute, again, that is also taxed at 35%. It's been quite a time now. But when can we expect a possible delisting or any other possible share swap of another listed Greek company, if possible? By when can we expect this, sir? Because it's been long time now. So can we get a clear picture on this, sir?
Again, without giving you a very specific time frame to say when we will have an answer on this, we just want to reiterate that we understand the concerns that you and the shareholders have raised on the matter, and that we are working together with our major shareholders to try and come to whatever the final conclusion on this matter is, as early as we are able to make sure that we understand the implications in all regards as far as the decision is concerned.
There are only two possibilities. If my reading right, sir, it's going to be either delisting or a share swap of another listed company. And is this share swap possible without delisting?
Yes, sir. Mr. Jain, we would want to comment on the specific, whether it's a share swap or whether it's a delisting. That would not be very fair when the process is still ongoing in terms of what we are trying to understand are the implications and the impact of all the relevant regulations and the various issues that are involved in taking this decision.
But it's going to be either of the two, if I'm not wrong. Is there any other option we have apart from this?
Again, we won't want to speculate on exactly what shape or form this may or may not take, because whatever we are working on, whether that is an answer, the answer is still to be... that is an answer that we are still, or that's a decision that is still to be taken. So we won't want to say whether it is A or B.
Okay. No problem, sir. No problem. Thank you, sir. Thank you, and all the best. Good luck.
Thank you. Participants, to ask questions, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Satinder Singh from Eon Infotech Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, any update on the Morgan Stanley vacation plans, okay, from the last call? Any update or on that you would like to share?
No specific update, Mr. Singh. What we mentioned last time is that the fact that Morgan Stanley is contracted to move from MKP remains clear. We don't have any specific notice from them as to when that move would commence, how long it would take. We continue to be in close touch with them in terms of their developments, in terms of how the place that they are going to is progressing. And they will let us know as soon as they have a concrete plan of action so that they can issue us a notice and we can also take concrete steps to fill in that vacancy. Of course, as you know, we are very cognizant of that, and that's where it is. But there hasn't been any specific or formal update since the last time.
How many years have they been a tenant here, sir, at MKP, Morgan Stanley?
Sorry, I didn't hear that.
What's your question? What will be the vacancy after?
No. How many years have they been a tenant here at MKP?
So Morgan Stanley has come in phases, over various phases over the past 14 years. They were occupied initially in phase 1 in approximately 2009. Then they came into phase 2 as well in approximately 2011. They came into phase 3 in maybe 2014 or in 2013, 2014, 2015, and then they even came into phase 4, which was after 2015, 2016. So they've been growing, and apart from this, they have further increased their footprint in phase 1 as well over the past few years. So they've been growing consistently within NKP over the past 14 years across all four phases.
So what is the area we occupy currently, sir? Total area in all?
Approximately 450,000
About 450,000. Right. Right, sir. So finally, is the valuation of investment properties concluded, sir? That's an annual exercise that NL does for the assets. Is that already concluded, and what's the value of the investment property arrived at?
Can you hold on a second? We'll just check that for you. Just to answer your question, that valuation has been concluded and it will form part of our annual report that will be going out to shareholders shortly.
Okay. Okay. Fine. Thank you. Thank you very much. All the best. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
A reminder to all the participants, if you wish to ask questions, you may press star and one on your touchtone phone. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one now. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take the next question from the line of Harshit Kolecha, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Mr. Kolecha, I have unmuted your line. Kindly proceed. As there is no response, ladies and gentlemen, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Kunal Sagar from Nirlon Limited for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much again for attending, and we appreciate your interest and look forward to remaining in touch.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Nirlon Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you.